The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, the RSA are issuing some details today of phone use of by drivers in their vehicles. We'll deal with that in a moment. But first, something much more close to home. Spouses are the most annoying passengers, and it is so annoying for some that it can end relationships. Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant of the RIAC, is with me. Good morning, Conor.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
So how do you find the missus in the car?
Well, I say this one is semi-autobiographical, you might say. We're just away on a short break, which involved some driving. And actually, we were congratulating ourselves because based on our 30-year track record, we might be maturing. We actually did okay. But, you know, if all you ever saw of us was our interactions in the car when one of us was driving, you would swear that this is heading either for divorce or murder. And it's extraordinary how common that is.
They call this carguments.
Carguments. And there's two surveys that I found online. One was a direct line one from the UK. The other was a compare the market one that had Irish data. But it's saying that 56% of couples regularly argue in the car. 8% of people say that they have broken up in a relationship because of car-related arguments. And for young people under 35, it's nearly 20% say they've ended a relationship because of an argument in the car. So there really is something there. And I think the psychology of it is you're disinhibited in front of your spouse or a close loved one. So
what are the triggers for the argument?
Well, there's the invisible brake pedal. If you really want to drive a driver mad, the invisible brake pedal. But it's generally backseat driving. Look out for that. Brake. Look out. The turn is, there's people getting lost, which is an obvious trigger as well. But as I say, mostly it's that disinhibited behaviour. And look, we do it with loved ones. Anybody will know. You could be a 45-year-old man and your mother will still straighten your tie for you in public.
Distractions as well. That can, you know, look at that sheep over there. Look at that blah, blah, blah.
Or to say, oh, look at that view. It's fantastic. And you keep your eyes on the road at the same time. As I say, it's a phenomenon that we're all very familiar with. And couples who are the most beatific and serene and placid will snap at each other like cats in a bag when one is driving and the other's in the passenger seat. So how do we fix it? Brackets, how do we fix her? Answers on a postcard, please. But I would say to anybody who is in the passenger seat, remember, you're not the co-pilot, you're the passenger. If it was a stranger in the driver's seat, you wouldn't be grabbing the wheel, blowing the horn on their behalf, shouting at them to brake, shouting at them to be careful. So try and be a passenger.
Mind you, I've been in taxis sometimes and I've got the invisible brake pedal going.
Well, I know we were in a New York taxi once, which was a white knuckle ride, never to be forgotten. But as I say, joking aside, and you know, it happens to everybody, the celeb couples that have been papped doing it. It's a very, very human thing, but it does cause genuine spousal arguments. And it is also potentially dangerous on the road because you are distracting the driver. So if she's trying to drive and he's busy shouting instructions at her every 2 seconds, at best, you're making her job driving the car much, much, much more difficult. And of course, it's magnified if you're, you know, on a foreign holiday together or you're driving in strange territory. So part of the passenger's job is to help the driver. And a key part of that is to shut up and not annoy the driver.
All right. Now we want to go on to the other story, the RSA study of mobile phone use. And we know accidents are happening because of people being distracted by their phones.
Yeah, this is a more serious story and a very good piece of work by the RSA, which they're publishing today. They're doing this for a number of years. In fact, back to 2009, but they keep beefing up their methodology, most recently 2002. So it's an observation study, but it's very large sample size. So it's based on 26,000 monitoring observations that took place over September and October of last year. And it builds up a big bank of data. And what they're doing is watching behaviour of drivers. What have they found? 6% of drivers were observed using a mobile device. Now, that's a very bad number if you consider the number of drivers and the amount of time they spend on the roads. But it is better than it used to be. The figure for 2023 was 9%. So it's a big chunky sample size, and there's some indication that the behaviour is getting better.
Okay. Now, the notorious ones are the, you know, the man in the white van driving along and obviously maybe looking for directions or maybe the next job they're going to or whatever. How does that man typically in the white van behave?
Yeah, well, it bucks the cliche, because white van man is not the major offender. In fact, the private car user is more likely to be on the mobile phone than the white van man or the commercial vehicle user.
The white man used to be bad. He has improved.
Well, he has improved, or maybe just the more data is brought to light on the stereotype, the less the stereotype holds up to scrutiny.
Because it was 2% for the white man van. It used to be 13% in 2023.
Yeah, and look, I saw that, Pat. I'm a little bit wary of stats that bounce to that extent. I mean, sometimes I think you might be being fooled there. But it does say that the white van man stereotype doesn't stack up. Another stereotype that doesn't stack up is the male-female. Now, on most road safety data, the females are much better than the males. And it's just there. It's just true. Not on this. It does appear to be the case that females are every bit as bad as males for mobile phone use and device use. I don't know whether that's a good thing for equality, whether both should be depressed. But again, the male-female stereotype does not seem to apply with this behaviour.
Now, usage fell across all road types, according to the RSA, but the biggest drop was on motorways, from 9% to 2%.
Yeah, and again, that's a huge drop. And it may be, I know the observations were done systematically and methodically. It may be to do with the difficulty of observation, and it may be to do with the improvement of hands-free, so that it may not be as discernible when the person is on a motorway. But I would like to believe that, you know, maybe to some degree good sense is breaking out. I mean, I've said previously, and so have the RSA, employers, for example, if you have an employee that's driving somewhere, you have no business calling them. Do not call. You can't send a van driver to Cork and then give him a call to query an invoice when he's halfway there.
The hands-free, you know, it's much better than having a mobile phone in your hand or whatever, but it can be a distraction as well.
Yeah, it's only a bit better, Pat. I mean, self-evidently, and look, 2/3 of the people observed were hands-free, 1/3 had the phone literally to their ear. The phone literally to your ear is, like, obviously silly, but in fact, it's the cognitive distraction rather than the mechanical distraction that really throws you off. So it's the fact that you're having a remote conversation. So if I'm talking to you on the phone and I'm saying, no, Pat, it's in the kitchen drawer, the second one down, your brain is picturing anything else but the road. My brain is in the kitchen describing that scenario to you, and I'm not seeing the traffic ahead of me. And it's that cognitive impairment.
But equally, we know that if you do the same trip every day, your commute, that you could do it almost automatically, to the point that when you get to your destination, you may remember nothing pretty much of the drive, because you do it every day and you react like an automaton.
A very common experience for people is you get a mobile phone call, you're busy in the chat, you hang up the phone and you realise, oh my God, I was only going to get to milk. And here I am automatically driving the route I take into work. What am I doing? I'll have to do a U-turn, go back and get milk. And you may have driven the car safely, but you did so on autopilot. Your brain was not cognitively engaged in the act. And that is what is desperately dangerous.
Now, the observations they made, and we don't know anything really about their methodology, but when someone's on a hands-free, you see their lips moving. They could be singing a song, they could be talking to themselves,
they could
be on a phone.
They could be rehearsing their lines for their amateur drama piece. They could be on the phone. It could be a very simple phone call.
Or talking to the passenger.
It could be a really simple phone call, like, you know, pick up milk on your way home. I will, grand. That is less distracting than a much more detailed phone call. You know, exactly where did you leave the spare keys of the car? And there's types of cognitive impairment that apply. So just because you see somebody sort of, if you like, mouthing away in the car seat, you're not necessarily assured there that that's a person driving irresponsibly or that person is distracted. But it's a pretty good indicator, Pat, isn't it?
Now, the RSA's Driver Attitudes and Behaviour Study found that 23% of respondents say they do check apps, notifications, social media, messages and emails while driving, at least sometimes.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a bit of a blunt question because, look, if Dublin's having a rotten morning for traffic this morning, right? So there's cars that are just crawling. The phone rings and it's the childminder, you know. Any human being is going to answer that phone call. Whereas it could be somebody who's going round a roundabout, holding a cup of coffee between their knees, checking their social media. And that, you know, that person should, both are theoretically doing the same thing. Both are using a phone while driving. But it's a question of degree, isn't it?
12% admitted they write or respond to texts on social media at least sometimes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Another 13% reported they talk on a handheld mobile at least sometimes.
Yeah, it's hard to be. Look, that's a.
I've seen a guy driving a truck. I've seen a guy driving a bus, one-handed, with the phone up to their ears while they're taking a bend.
Well, I've seen a cyclist texting with no hands. I mean, quite the circus act, but I mean, absolutely ludicrous. So, as I say, for the driver, it's a very silly way to get penalty points. I sometimes get people contact me and say, look, I was done by a speed camera. I feel very harshly treated. It was an obscure zone. I was trying to behave myself. I have some sympathy. But if you're getting penalty points for behaviour like that with a mobile phone, you know, even the most car-biased guy in the world is going to scratch his chin and struggle to make a case for the defence there.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC. Thank you very much.